Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go to the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So I don't know if any of you have ever run out of gas when driving, but it is terrifying when you realize the warning light has been on for a while and you are nowhere near a gas station. Well, that very thing happened to a woman named Mary when she was coming home from work on a hot summer day in the Texas heat. She pulled up to a stoplight and the car just stopped running, realizing far too late that the warning light had been illuminated for some time. Well, Mary switched the clutch to neutral, climbed out of her car, and started pushing it down the long road to the nearest gas station. Many people drove by and even honked at her, but she was left on her own to make the slow march to the distant gas station, feeling frustrated and embarrassed that she didn't realize she had been running on empty for so long. Now, I wonder if that's how Jesus and his disciples were feeling from our gospel story today, running on empty and nearly out of resources. In today's story, Jesus just found out that his cousin John the Baptist was killed by Herod. And to make matters worse, just before hearing that news, Jesus was rejected by his friends and family in his hometown of Nazareth. I can imagine how Jesus might have felt like he was running on empty. So, Jesus does the very reasonable thing of going on his own to a deserted place to spend time with his father. Now, can you imagine how Jesus must have felt when reaching the shore and finding thousands of needy faces waiting for him? Imagine the sight of all the people, 5,000 men, not to mention women and children. Altogether, there could have been 10 to 15,000 people. It would have been like gazing to a sold-out crowd at Red Rocks Amphitheater or a completely full lawn at Blossom. Now, if I were Jesus, aren't you glad I'm not? I would have been completely overwhelmed and done the reasonable thing and turned that boat right around to find a new deserted place. I had my own problems to deal with, and there was no way I had enough left in my tank to help that many people. Instead, Jesus is moved with compassion and does the completely unreasonable thing by getting to work and caring for the people. Jesus healed lepers, mended bones, exorcised demons, cured diseases, and wiped away tears. I imagine that after the healings began, the once deserted place did begin to feel like a rock concert, with people singing and dancing and praising God after receiving hope and healing. However, once evening came, the disciples were worried about the large crowds and how they would find something to eat. Now, if I were one of them, I'm sure I would have been completely exhausted at this point from managing the crowds, and I'd be sure Jesus needed a break at this point too. So I'd tell Jesus, "Well, listen, we've done more than enough already. It's time to relax and refill our tanks. It's more than reasonable to send the people away so they can get food and refuel as well." But then, Jesus replied with the most unexpected and frankly unreasonable command, "You give them something to eat." Looking at the vast crowds and then at our nearly empty supplies, I'd wonder if Jesus had lost it. How in the world were we supposed to feed that many people when we only had 5 loaves and 2 fish? There was no way. Our tank was empty. We were running on fumes at this point with barely enough to feed and take care of ourselves. And then I think, how many times have I felt like that in my own life? As a parent, I've experienced many instances where I'm exhausted and my patience is running on E, but I have a child who had a nightmare that needs consoling, or children who just can't seem to get along, or another mess to clean up. I'm sure we've all experienced a long, draining day at work, but then have been met with additional problems that just push us over the edge. In those cases, it seems almost reasonable that we might lose our composure and yell at stupid drivers who should know better, or make a sarcastic and stinging remark to someone we feel wronged by, or to lose our temper with our kids. When our tank is empty and we've given so much already, it's almost understandable how we might gossip to feel better about ourselves, or to be short with our spouse, or how we might even pass by a driver that ran out of gas just because we don't have the time or energy to help. It's all reasonable, it's all understandable, but that's when God asks us to be unreasonable. He asks us to keep going when we're all worn out. He asks us to keep pushing forward when we want to quit. He asks us to love others when we can barely love ourselves. He asks us to give him our 5 loaves and 2 fish when we need to feed 5,000. And in our gospel story today, that's exactly what the disciples did. Even though it might not have made sense, and even though they didn't understand, they gave Jesus the last of what they had. And what did Jesus do? Well, he gave them exactly what they needed and more. The disciples gave Jesus 5 loaves and 2 fish, and Jesus gave them enough to feed 5, 10, 15,000 people with 12 baskets of leftovers to spare. Here, again, is Jesus is teaching his disciples and us a very valuable lesson. Give Jesus what you have, and he will give you more than you need. Give Jesus water, and he will turn it into the richest of wines. Give Jesus faith the size of a mustard seed, and he will use it to move mountains. Give Jesus the fumes left in your tank, and he will make that tank overflow. And so we come back to Mary, who is pushing her car on that hot summer day. She had nothing left in her tank except a prayer to God and growing doubt if there was anyone who was willing to help a stranger. Wouldn't you know it, God showed up in the form of several men from the army who pushed her car all the way to the gas station. And upon arriving at the gas station, a man there offered the military men $100 to get a meal. But the men turned it down, saying they were only doing what they raised to do, and so the man with the money filled Mary's tank. Mary came to God with an empty tank, and he used these unreasonable men to leave it more than full. So when we're feeling exhausted, run down, worn out, and running on empty, God asks us to be unreasonable. Unreasonable by giving God what we have so that he can give us more than we need. Unreasonable so that instead of lashing out and only being concerned with number one, we love others as ourselves. Unreasonable by trusting that if we give our empty tanks and time to God, that he will leave us feeling more filled than ever. Now, my eyes were truly opened to God's grace of giving us more than we need when we offer him what we have, when I volunteered as a camp counselor at Royal Family Kids Camp. Now, Royal Family Kids Camp probably doesn't need a whole lot of introduction for you guys here, since Pastor Dave talks about it all the time, and many of you I know are involved with it. But for those of you who aren't familiar or would like some more background, here we go anyway. So Royal Family Kids Camp, or RFKC, is a camp for foster kids aged 6 to 12 who come to spend a week at camp playing, having fun, and getting loved on. At camp, we celebrate everyone's birthday because some kids may have never even celebrated it or received a birthday present before. We also capture photos during the week documenting all the activities like the superhero party, riding bikes, fishing, swimming, roasting s'mores, archery, you name it, so that the kids can have a memory book of their time at camp. And for some of these kids, the pictures are the only ones they have of themselves, so you can imagine these books are a very prized possession. Now, to say that these kids are underprivileged is a massive understatement, where abuse, malnourishment, and mistrust color their world. And prior to camp, these kids usually only heard Jesus Christ as a swear word adults would yell. Thus, I'm sure Jesus had these kids in mind when he commanded us to care for the least of these. So when I had the opportunity to volunteer at RFKC, I knew I had to take it. However, I was also terrified at the prospect. At camp, what little sleep was gotten was on a hard and uncomfortable bed, and believe me, I do not do well on little sleep. I'm positive that the spiders in the showers and in the cabins were plotting the best ways to ambush me when I was most vulnerable, and it felt like a truck of fresh ice was dumped into the pool each morning. Now, contending with the rugged camping conditions, I also had to exude patience and love to kids who often weren't behavioral role models. And honestly, who could blame them? And I had to maintain a healthy supply of energy to keep up with them. And since I don't drink coffee, I know, weird, I had to do it all without the external aid of caffeine. I knew I also lacked the internal resources to keep going the whole week, because after an hour or two of running around with my own kids, well, I'm completely spent. So I knew it was entirely up to God to keep my tank running through the week at camp. And keep it running, he did. I somehow woke up feeling refreshed each morning and ready to tackle the day ahead. I raced the kids, and lost, through the bounce house obstacle course. We erupted in joyous celebration each time we landed a fish. We played gaga ball in 9 square more times than I could count. We mended a hurt knee of one of the kids when he fell off his bike. We read stories like the ferocious battle between rock, paper, and scissors. We ate the most delicious assortment of food, although honestly at that point anything would have tasted delicious, we were so hungry. And whenever any problems or disagreements arose, they were responded to with the utmost patience and care. It was a week full of love, a week where the line between heaven and earth was blurred, and a week where I think I got far more out of it than the kids even did. You see, the craziest thing is that God didn't just give me what I needed to get through the week. He gave me more than I needed so that I was overflowing with abundance. When I got home from camp, I erupted in tears at the sight of my own kids, and I held them closer than I ever had before. My tank was overflowing, and I was able to use the grace that God gave me to love my kids and family even better than I ever thought I could. I saw my family with fresh eyes of grace, and my tank seemed to run much longer before the needle started heading towards E. Now, I can't imagine not volunteering as a camp counselor at RFKC now. Better than any vacation or any time trying to recharge on my own, RFKC is one of those numinous places where God's love overflows and more than fills all of us up. Now, the best part about all of this, too, is that Jesus gave us a way to sustain us and fill our tanks each and every week. In the feeding of the 5,000, Christ broke bread and gave it to all to be filled. Today, Jesus gives us his body in the form of bread every time we come to worship, for Jesus is the food that sustains us. We come to Christ today with bread and juice, and God turns them into Jesus' body and blood. Every week, we bring the elements that we have, and Christ gives us the miracle that we need to sustain and strengthen us with his food. And as Jesus showed us in the story, we, as his disciples, are called to bring that food to the multitudes. We carry on Jesus' work by feeding the hungry, healing the sick, caring for the poor, and loving kids who have next to nothing. We bring the light of Christ to the world so that Jesus can sustain, renew, and refill all of those whose tanks are empty. Now, there will come a time when God calls you to something that seems unreasonable, when you feel like you have nothing left to give. That's when, through faith, you realize that if you give to God what you have, even if it's just fumes, he will give you more than enough for what you need. So when you feel worn out with an empty tank, come to God with what you have, whether it's a prayer, a doubt, a hope, or tears, give it to God, and he will give you more than you could have imagined. Please pray with me. Thank you, Lord, for your gift of unending grace that calls us, sustains us, and strengthens us to live into a life of love. Amen.